This is the Hollywood Outsider, and this is Aaron Peterson, your host, and I am here to bring you a special episode of our show. Since we're not having our normal episode because of the 4th of July week, we are taking that week off. We thought we would air a special episode where we interviewed Giles Mathey. He's an actor that was on the Fox series 24, Live Another Day, which is coming up to its final two episodes. So if you're listening to this after that, well, that's when we aired it. Now, Giles Mathey, he plays Jordan Reed, who's a character on Fox's 24, Live Another Day. And whatever his fate may be, we're not going to discuss because this interview was recorded a couple weeks ago, actually, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. So what you're going to hear is an interview before those events from the last couple weeks, but it's still a very introspective look at 24, the making of a series, the making of series versus film, because he's had several films as well as what it's like to be an actor, what motivated him, et cetera, et cetera. It's actually a very interesting interview, and we think it relates to both shows. So we thought we would play it here, since a lot of you haven't heard it. Very interesting, very nice guy. I look forward to see what he does with his career. He's got a movie with Robin Williams coming out soon as well. Now, remember, you can always find The Hollywood Outsider on iTunes or Stitcher or TheHollywoodOutsider.com, of course. Our email is feedback@TheHollywoodOutsider.com. Let us know what you thought and any other people you might think we should try to interview, because we don't do many of them, but when we find it interesting, we definitely want to jump on it. I'm going to go ahead and let this interview roll. Hopefully you enjoy it and you get something out of it. If you're a fan of 24, I can't see any way you don't love it, because this has been a fantastic season. It's an excellent little add-on to the run of the series, and he did a great job as Jordan Reed. And he's a very nice guy, as well as a good actor. Now enjoy the interview with Giles Mathey from 24, Live Another Day, right now. We are here talking with Giles Mathey, who's most recently portrayed Jordan Reed on Fox's 24, Live Another Day. First off, yes. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Are you glad that I said you're still portraying him, since it's still up in the air? And I think you...
Yes, it's still up in the air, so I'm very glad that you said that.
We're not going to allude to any spoilers, so if anybody's getting too excited, you might as well just turn it off, because it's not going to happen.
Yes, exactly. I get in trouble from folks.
I think you probably get in a lot of trouble. But before we get to that, and believe me, we'll get to the show, but tell us more about you. What brought you to the show to begin? I mean, how did you decide to be an actor?
Well, when I was about, probably when I was about sort of 14 or something, I saw a play by an actor that really moved me, and it was in London, and it was in the West End, and his name was Charles Dance. And his sort of ability to sort of move people by telling the story really kind of inspired me. And I just thought maybe it's a kind of a power thing that I kind of wanted to have that ability to do. So I have no idea, but I was just so moved. And I thought, if I have the ability to do that, and if I work hard, I would love to do that and make some money and have that as my career and passion that I love. So I'm very fortunate that it's working out thus far. So that's kind of how, when I saw this amazing play called Shadowlands.
And that's Tywin Lannister, right? For people that aren't familiar on Game of Thrones, that's Charles Dance.
Yes, it is. I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I know he's on it.
As a young and up-and-coming actor, how hard is it to get this far? Is it pretty hard?
It's very hard, but I think it's like any job. If you work hard and if you do the work, I think that's the most important thing. And you have to have a little bit of luck, and you've got to be in the right place in the right time, but it all starts really with hard work, like any job, you know, climbing up the ladder.
That's what more people need to realize. I think people, they hear either the horror stories or the easy stories.
Yes, exactly. It's either one or the other, and they don't hear the sort of standard, you know, I would just work my way up kind of stories.
Yeah, and I saw you in Jobs last year with Ashton Kutcher.
Yes.
And now you're doing TV, and I know you did True Blood as well. And you were in a movie called Boulevard. What's the difference between working on a movie versus working on a TV series for you?
I think TV is much more formulaic, and it's sharper. So like you're very aware that you're kind of you fit in an ensemble, really, like film can be. But I think that with film, there's a special thing where you're able to, perhaps sometimes more so than TV, is kind of like use and create a character more so than you have the chance to do in TV, because TV is so quick and it's so plot driven. Whereas I think films have the luxury of being around once, and usually once, and being able to sort of develop a character more thoroughly. Whereas I think TV is a machine, kind of, and you know the formula, you know what your job is, and you can't really explore as much as you would like to. But I think in film you can do those exploring with the character. You can take those chances.
And what's the difference for you? Because, you know, like I said, you worked on True Blood for a little bit.
Yeah.
And now you're working on 24. They both have really dedicated fan bases. I mean, some would say obsessive.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I agree. They definitely are obsessive.
Yeah. Good and bad. I'm sure that's good and bad.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
What's the difference between those two, between talking to fans of those two shows?
I think the fans of 24, I've got to be careful what I say now.
Oh, yeah.
I think the fans of 24, because of the world that 24 is about, I think they have kind of more sort of factually based opinions, if you know what I mean.
Because it's more realistic.
It's about the particular types of weapons, the particular type of information gathering, the particular type of sort of how close it is to how it actually goes on in the political and, you know, counter-terrorist world.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think True Blood, they just have very, very passionate fans that will sort of either love you or hate you for no real reason other than their own biased sort of fascination with their favorite characters, if you know what I mean. Whereas I think 24 is a bit more fair in some ways. Like they'll give you, then they don't make up their mind so quickly.
Well, yeah, I get it. There's a more fantastical source material, I think, with True Blood.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So there's some very devoted fans to that material, and they want it to be closely resemble that, I guess.
Absolutely.
Were you a fan of the show before you got your first audition?
True Blood or 24?
24, I'm sorry, 24.
24, I had only, like, I was at university, and one of my best buddies started watching 24, and it just seemed to me like it was too long, and I've already missed the first season, so why bother getting into it? And I didn't get into it. I couldn't, because my friend was so far ahead, and I couldn't be bothered to sort of go back from episode one. But obviously, and when I got this role, then I sort of went back and did a lot of watching. I wasn't really, I wouldn't say I was a fan, no. I was aware of it, and I was aware of how popular it was. But that was the same thing with what happened with True Blood. I had no idea. I didn't even have an idea what True Blood was. At least I had heard of 24 and I knew what it was about before I auditioned, whereas True Blood, I had no idea.
That's a funny misconception, because I think so many fans just assume that everybody working on their favorite shows has been a diehard fan their whole lives.
Yes, yeah, I think that's a bit of a misconception. However, there's even more pressure because, you know, we're not stupid. We know that, you know, it's when it, like, for example, when I got 24, I realized this is a massive deal that I need to sort of do justice. I mean, me personally, I always have to do myself justice. But with shows like True Blood and 24 in particular, these huge fan bases, you have to make sure that you kind of, you know, do justice for the fans and the show, because it's such a great show that you don't want to disappoint and let down the show that's giving you the chance. And, you know, so the pressure was through the roof, for me at least. Not probably as much for the other actors that were more experienced than me, but I really felt like, you know, I want to do 24 proud, if you know what I mean. And I want to do the fans proud, even if I'm a goodie or a baddie. You know, I want to do justice to the show. So there was a real sense of responsibility as well.
Well, I think the fans really appreciate when people take it that seriously, sincerely. I mean,
Yeah, no, trust me, I lived and breathed it.
I bet. Was did you get the sense? I mean, because when you started filming, the promotion wasn't really hyped up, but as it started going, did that start to build on you a little bit?
No, I made a conscious decision not to watch any of the episodes while I was shooting, because then I would probably get in my head and I would start to kind of get a bit paranoid, like, thinking, oh, I didn't like how I did that, or oh, I liked how I did that, I'll do more of that. And then it just becomes sort of a very self-aware kind of thing, and acting shouldn't be self-aware. It should be sort of happening in the moment, and you should be concentrate with what's happening right now, what's going in front of your face. And I think that is also the same for when you're about to start a show. Like, I don't watch too many episodes of it because I don't want to copy other performances. I want to bring my own sort of take on things.
So how far, and we're not going to talk about anything that's happening after the episodes, just episodes that have already
Yeah.
aired. How far ahead of time did you know that your character would be the one that uncovered Navarro's activities? Do you know that like when you
Oh,
start or?
no, I we didn't we don't get the scripts until literally about a week before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we have no idea what's going to happen. So it's kind of crazy.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Are you glad you don't have to carry the secret kind of thing?
It's a good and bad thing. I think that you won't get sort of upset by what's happening when you sort of see it so far ahead of time. So there's not enough time to sort of think, oh no, this is happening, or oh yes, this is happening. You just want to do it. So the good thing about getting it so late on is that there's not much time to think. Know your character, know your role, and do it. Whereas if you have too much time, then I think you just overthink things, as I said before. And obviously, I'm only speaking for myself, but so there are good and bad points to it, but I'd say it's mostly a good thing.
I was looking back on the episodes and I was thinking about your character, and you've spent most of your time in glass cubes, except for the when you
Yes.
except when you fall in the filthy river. Do
Yeah.
you ever get bummed that the other actors are going to like Wembley Stadium and stuff like that?
I did get a little bit angsty, but like, I think this is Jordan Reed's world. I think he is very happy being there and doing this stuff. And I also think that a lot of the stuff that he does is very quite easy for him. And so when he gets the challenge to go out into the field for the first time, because we're depleted in numbers, I think it's sort of, he's really happy about that, and it's his chance to show that he's not just a number cruncher, and kind of to prove to Navarro that he's capable in the field as well, even though that technology and data and information is mainly Jordan's world. So yeah, I think he did. I think Jordan was a little bit annoyed, but that he wasn't being given the chance to go out. But he knows his place as well. Like, he knows his role in that office is very, very important.
I got to be honest with you. When he first, after he gets shot and he comes out and he calls Navarro,
Yeah.
I was screaming at my TV. I didn't understand how he could not know he was set up. And then I want to thank you for making me feel like an ass on that.
No,
'Cause
no worries, no worries.
that played out very well.
Yeah, so I took like yeah, Jordan does have a brain, and he can pull out some moves in the field as well, because he does know that, but he wanted to make sure by making that phone call. He obviously, that thought's been there, but just on the off chance, he's going to expose his position. And obviously, if the assassin was going to come like he did, he'd know it's Navarro. So his decision is made as soon as he hears that assassin come through that door.
I got to tell you, it's a tribute to the writing and your performance because I really didn't expect the outcry from fans that I've seen over
Oh,
him.
really? Oh,
Yeah,
wow. I
really.
mean, I know some people. I think I'm very lucky to have been given a character that the fans seem to really like Jordan, and I think it's the guy that we've all been as well. When we like a girl or a guy, and we can only bang our heads on the brick wall so many times before, like, and his heart's in the right place. He's not a sleazy or an arrogant guy. He's quite an honest guy. So it's kind of like a it was a gift of a character in many ways, because he's a good person. There's no duplicity, and fans like good people, and they also like the evil, you know, evil bastards, but they also like the good, hardworking guy, and that's what Jordan wants.
Do you kind of wish you would have shot the hitman in the leg before you told him to get up?
I really wish Jordan had have just, yeah, maimed him and then stayed, kept his distance. I mean, what I think he should have done was shoot him in both shoulders and his kneecaps. So therefore, he's literally lying there, but he's not going to die.
I think you're a little more twisted than Jack Bauer at this point.
Yeah.
No, but I got that. And you know what? I was thinking about it, because some fans have been saying, well, you know, why wouldn't he do that? Why wouldn't he do that? And I thought about it. He's never really been in the field. So,
no.
You know, if I had never been out in the field, I've never been in a, everybody thinks because we watch TV forever, we'd know what we do. If that was you and you've never fired a gun or you never have been in the field, you would think about it. You would hesitate.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, if it's the first time, he's also, bearing in mind, he's also been shot, and he's also come out of a freezing canal, and he's got all this adrenaline pumping through his brain. So it's like characters like Jack Bauer and Kate, they base it off instinct. And I don't think Jordan has the instincts that Kate and Jack have. Whereas I think Jordan's a bit more cerebral and he thinks a bit too much. Whereas these great agents, they don't think, they just do. Mm-hmm. So I think Jordan, especially in the field, especially as he's kind of screwed, something's gone wrong, you know, that he screwed up what he was meant to do in his mind. So he's freaking out, and he doesn't react off instinct like Kate and Jack. He reacts off what he thinks is right, and he wants to make sure. So that's the difference.
And I'm going to wrap up my portion real quick, because there's listeners' questions, and I want to get to them, and I know you're pressed for time.
But, sure. No worries. Oh,
okay. Well, people are going to scream at me if I don't ask this question, and I'm not going to ask it so they can just scream, because I'm not going to spoil anything. But what I will ask is this. If you, in one sentence or less, what can you say that can tease the audience about anything, about the last four episodes? Doesn't have to give anything away. Just
I know what I can say.
Okay.
Which is not... It's directly linked to, obviously, 24, but this will give you an insight of how special the remaining, the last two episodes will be. Kiefer Sutherland is writing the last, well, he wrote the last two, and he took a long time writing those episodes.
Really?
So that's a bit of info for you there.
Kiefer Sutherland did? I didn't even know you wrote.
Yeah, he played a large part with the writing.
Wow. That should make fans feel better no matter what direction they go with then.
Exactly, because he is Jack.
He has become synonymous with it, I would say, at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
For a guy with such a long career, that's pretty impressive that he still created a standing character.
Yeah, lately. I mean, he's phenomenally talented. He knows, like, he's – when we used to go out after shooting, mm-hmm. he'd take us out and we'd have a drink and – he's a very funny, charming guy. And then when he's on set, he's razor sharp and he's quieter. He's like, he is Jack Bauer on set. Like he's very brooding. He's a different guy, really. Very, very different sort of with his, with his chit chats on set. He stays to himself. Whereas as soon as that camera is, has stopped rolling, he's so open and very sort of quite animated and like a nice giving guy, whereas you know when he's on set, he's there to work and kick ass.
That's really cool. Yeah. And before we do listeners' questions, what's next for you? I mean, what's next on your agenda after the show?
Well, I am auditioning. Basically, you know, it's what you got to do as an actor. You go from one thing to the next. You wait for your hiatus to be over, or you keep on. So I'm just keeping on, and I've got a few really good auditions lined up, and one seems to be like a sort of, it's almost like a Game of Thronesy type of show. So we'll see. I'm taking some meetings as well, so we'll see. Like, you never know, and that's the terrifying and exciting thing about being an actor.
And you're on the Twitter now. I call it the Twitter. You're on the Twitter.
I know. I am on the Twitter, and I only just joined, like, I think like a month and a half ago.
It'll help because people love being on the Twitter.
Yes, I know. And, you know, I appreciate all the support. So thank you. And thank you to all the listeners as well.
Okay. Well, I want to get to the listeners' questions before you have to go. And his Twitter address is at Giles Mathey.
Absolutely.
First off, I got a lot of questions, and an overwhelming majority of them were spoiler related. Like, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Is he going to die? Is this going to happen? We're not going to ask those, but thanks for writing in.
No, because the listeners will understand. If you say anything publicly about what's going to happen about plot, then you can genuinely, it's in your contract. You can get sued. You can get a lot of, yeah, a lot of bad stuff will happen to you as an actor, and it's not worth it. And also, it would ruin it for the fans as well. I mean, why would you want to watch something if you know what's going to happen? Like, yeah, you want to see how it's going to happen, but it ruins the surprise of, you know, how it's going to happen.
I couldn't agree more. We try very hard on the podcast and never discuss. We don't even talk about the preview for the next episode.
Not good.
Yeah, we try for. Do you guys listen to? I gotta ask that real quick. Do you guys listen to podcasts about the shows that you're on, or do the cast members listen to that stuff?
I think it's all different. Some will do and some won't. I kind of just stumbled onto a few, and I just loved hearing how passionate people like yourself and the listeners were talking about it. So I really wanted to, to be open to this interview. So I think it depends. Like some people will and some people won't. So I would imagine Mary Lynn, I would imagine she would dip her toe in. I wouldn't imagine Kiefer does because Kiefer's
time.
Kind of the old school. And the same with Benjamin and the same with Tate. But I would imagine Benger or Yvonne or like the slightly, they'll hate me for saying this, but the slightly younger generation.
Hey, facts are facts. You can't argue with them. They're younger.
You can't.
Okay, well, first we've got a few questions from listeners that don't involve spoilers. And just so you know, I don't write them. So if they offend you, it's not
okay.
My fault.
No. I love it. I love honest questions. And there's no more of an honest platform than Twitter, I think, because they really release what they think.
Joan, and I'm sorry, Joan, if I butcher your name. Joan Casciopoli. I hope I said that right. She says, did you enjoy the chance to do field work, not just tech, even though you were shot and knifed? Great job.
Yes. Jordan had a terrible time in the field, but I was really excited to. When I think it was Evan told me, oh, wow, you know, I think we were halfway through episode 5. And I met Evan. We went on a lovely tour to the Tower of London, actually. The whole cast went. And he said, we've got some crazy stuff coming up for you. And he just said, I'll give you a hint. You're out in the field. And when he told me that, I jumped for joy. As Giles Mathey, not as Jordan Reed, obviously. But as Giles, I really loved that because as an actor, you always want to be doing something different. And you want to be challenging yourself. And even if it means you're doing something slightly different, even in a different setting, like how does he work in different environments? It's just interesting. And the thing about 24 is you're stuck in, you know, it's over one day. So there aren't too many, for the techie people, there's not going to be too much change of set. So I really loved it.
I love that you got out in the field and unfortunately you got stabbed, but.
Yeah, and shot.
But really that was more of a graze. I mean. Actually, he might die of infection. So even if you make it through the season, you're going to want a tetanus shot.
Well, there you go. Well, I didn't actually go in. It was a stunt double.
I hope not. They look dirty.
Yeah.
Henry Phillips says, Giles, I have a fan question. Without counting Jack or anyone else from the current season, who is your favorite 24 character?
Favorite character in 24? Without what?
Without the current season. So anybody from anything you did see.
I really like Tony Almeida.
Ooh, good call.
Yeah. He's cool. He's kind of like a mixture between Jordan and Jack, really.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah, it's a good point. Very good.
That's kind of what I saw him as.
Sheila W., you worked on my favorite show, True Blood. How was that experience?
It was really, really cool. I was the most nervous I think I've ever been because it was my first big role on a big TV show. I was my most nervous. But All my scenes were with Anna Paquin and Ryan Quanten, and they were really, really just like Benjamin and Kate and Benga. They were really open, and if you feel comfortable when you're on set and rehearsing and then shooting, if you feel comfortable, which is what these guys did, you feel so welcome, and you don't feel like the world's gonna end if you screw up a take, or if you, you don't feel like the world is going to end, basically, if you have nice people to do it with. And I've been very fortunate. Anna and Ryan especially, was so helpful. Personally, he was really supportive. I was going through a tough time at that time, and he's a very, very down to earth, lovely, lovely guy. And Anna's just a true professional and really, really supportive.
That's good to hear. That's one show that I haven't caught up on. I've watched a couple seasons of it, but I am behind on that one. I'm not.
Oh yeah, no worries. I think they've just had their last. This season's the last, and I think it's on June 22nd. I think.
Yep, and that was my plan. Sure. I'll just wait till it's over, and I'll do a barrel.
Yeah,
watch,
exactly. You know? Catch up then. Yeah.
Brad Randall, it really seems like the showrunners have been setting up a dynamic where Kate and Jordan are the new Jack and Chloe. Am I crazy?
You're certainly not crazy. They definitely do have that. They definitely do have that dynamic. Yeah, I completely get the references. Even John Cassar, before shooting, would call me the new Chloe. So it was a real honor to be called that by John Cassar, who is also, I haven't mentioned him, he was just phenomenal with. I've never worked with anyone like John Cassar in my whole life, and he really, really is. He's truly brilliant. You should see how this guy works. He moves quite fast, but he just gets it. He finds these things. He knows where the camera is for 24, so much so that sometimes he would actually pick up the camera and tell the DP where the shot is,
Oh, really?
So we had some DPs, and we had them come in, and, they'd never done 24 before, but they knew, they'd been briefed and everything. But John would sometimes pick up the camera and run on and just pick up the camera and say, this is this, this is that, this is that. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And it was all about pace and energy and, intensity. And John was just fantastic. So he actually told me that, I'm going to be the new kind of Chloe, even though there's not another Chloe in this world, Chloe's Chloe. But the new Chloe type figure, was very much prominent. And, Kate is, she is the sort of new Jack or another Jack.
That's something, man. I don't know how Mary Lynn would take that you're the new Chloe. I don't know if John or if,
that you can't replace Chloe. You just cannot do it.
That's funny.
Brilliant. And she's so individual. It's like saying you can't really replace red with the color blue. They're different. They're worlds apart. They just have similar type jobs.
I you're doing a great job, because people are really worried about what's going to happen to you. Marky, yeah, they are. They are. Marky B, he wants to know, what's your favorite thing about the UK and the worst?
Easily the worst is the weather and the pessimistic views that I think a lot of, I remember, because I grew up in London, so I've had bad weather for years, and I've also had the negative mindset drilled into me. So when I told people in England that I wanted to be an actor, they would say, why are you going to do that? You'll never make it. You'll never do anything. It's too hard. There's no point. You'll waste your money. And I think the weather and this kind of inbuilt pessimism that I find a lot in London, maybe it's the people I hang around with, I don't know, but those are the two things I dislike most about London, the weather and the pessimism. And what I like about London is the culture and the sort of, there's a buzz within certain areas of London when you go out, and that's really nice to feel, like in Soho and Mayfair, there's nice buzzy places.
Did that, since you grew up there, did that help with the cast, finding spots to go and knowing where to location scout, stuff like that? Did you ever?
No, I didn't really, because they hired obviously local scouting people, but John would do a lot of it himself. But with socially, I would go out a lot with Benjamin Bratt, and I'd recommend some places to him, and So we went out quite a bit. Same with Tate Donovan, and Kiefer always stayed. He always went to this one bar in particular. Every time we had nights out, it would be there. And that was it's a beautiful place. It's called Little House, I think, or Little Door. Little House or Little House, I think. And it's kind of like Soho House, but it's lovely. But, you know, a lot of the guys knew London relatively well. I mean, Kiefer was born in London, I think. So he's been there a bunch of times. I had a mixed emotions about the setting.
Well, I've got two more questions.
No worries. Go for
it. Okay. Shane Jacobs, he says, when Jordan started, some 24 fans did not care for the character, probably because they just wanted Chloe to be the computer guy. But he's become much more popular as the show went on. How has it been dealing with fan reaction to your character?
It's a really good question. I think that's one thing I was quite aware of, because even me, who had not watched all the episodes of 24, I knew about Chloe, and I knew she has her own sort of cult following, you know. So I knew that doing a similar type role as Chloe, there was going to be a lot of it's very easy to be disliked, but I just made sure that I brought myself to it, because, you know, that's all you have as an actor. You only have yourself, your mentality, your emotions, your history, your body, and I'm never going to be Chloe. So as long as once I felt comfortable in that, there was no pressure. I just had a Chloe type role. But I think he's also a good person. He's also an honest person. And I think with his sort of undefined relationship with Kate, I think many people can relate to liking someone and then sort of not giving you what you want, really. And I think a lot of people can empathize with that. So I think when you do empathize with the straight shooter, the guy that actually might not be liked by someone he likes, and with regards to the growing fan base, all the fans are so supportive. I'm sure I got a little bit of like, oh, I don't care for Jordan, but it's all you guys have been so, so kind and supportive. It's so nice, because I've had, with True Blood, I think a lot of people didn't like me as the role I was cast in, because I think he was described, in the books at least, as like a Greek Adonis, and I'm not a Greek Adonis. I don't have abs sort of cut out of marble or anything. And fans were in a bit of an uproar, but I feel like with the 24 fans, it's more informed, I think. They give you time to, okay, let's see what he's going to do. Like, and as long as you, as I said, you do your job and hopefully you bring yourself to it, then it's nice. And so the fans have been great for 24. So, yeah.
That's really cool. And I've got, this question is my favorite question. I just think it's funny. It's funny. Olivia Dunning, she says, Giles, Jordan is the guy who found out Navarro is shady, not Jack Bauer. Even though you have no field training, you managed to quickly come up with a plan to catch Navarro as well. How does it feel to know that you're a better agent than Jack Bauer?
That's the biggest compliment I've had in a long time. That's a very, very flattering statement. It feels great, and I loved it that Jordan, he grew some balls, you know, because I didn't want him to be a sort of meepish sort of, you know, the same type of, oh, you know, Kate, I really like you, but, you know, okay, we'll get back to work. You know, I didn't want him to continue being this kind of just the computer guy. So when he went into the field and when he had this confrontation with the assassin and when he found out that Navarro was behind it, he screwed up, but he also grew a pair of balls, and I really like that. I like having a bit of range, and I think it's important for the fans as well not to see the same performance recycled over and over, you know?
Oh, absolutely. That's all we've got. I know you have to get going.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for coming on. I mean, I know that you're a busy guy and taking the time out. We really appreciate it.
No, not at all.
Is there anything else they can do in terms of, is there anything of your work that's out that you want to promote or you want to mention?
I did a movie of Robin Williams that's going to come out one of these days. I'm only in three scenes, but I play a gay ghetto southern pimp. And that's worlds apart from Jordan Reed, and it's worlds apart from everything I've done. So I'm looking forward to the eventual release of that, and I think it's premiering at Outfest in LA next month. Because it's, I think Robin Williams is a closeted gay guy, and he kind of comes out, and I play the pimp, so it's funny. It's actually a drama, but it's funny that I play that. if you can manage to catch that, great, and just keep on watching 24.
And also, you're on Twitter at GILESMATTHEY.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, and I appreciate all the support and lovely things that you have to say, and also your own opinions as well. Like, I'd love to discuss it as well. I'm quite proactive. I don't have millions and millions of fans, and I quite like that, you know. So it's good that you can have like a dialogue and opinions as well. It's good.
Oh, I got a feeling it's going to keep growing for you for a while.
Oh, very kind of you to say so.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you so much, mate. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. And I'm so sorry it went longer than planned.
No worries. No worries at all. No worries.
Take care.
Excellent. Okay, you too, man.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
So there you go. I told you he's a very, very nice guy. And I hope you enjoyed the interview. Remember, that is from 24 Live Another Day, which, if you are watching, we do have another podcast called 24 Live Another Podcast. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. We're having a lot of fun with it. It's me, Justin, and Zach Parkerson, who's been on one of our other special episode of our shows on Hoes After Dark. We do a good job. We're having a lot of fun. We've had Troy Heinrichs from Under the Dome Radios come over a couple times. It's been really fun. So definitely check that out if you're watching the show, or if you plan on watching the series once it hits video or something, go back and check that podcast out. We have a lot of fun, go over a lot of stuff. It's a good time, so I highly recommend it. That's going to do it for this episode. I really hope you enjoyed the interview, guys. We'll try to bring in a few more here and there. Remember to go on iTunes, give us a rating if you can. We always appreciate that. We really do. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com, Stitcher, iTunes, whatever you use to listen to podcasts, that's where The Hollywood Outsider is going to be. And remember, it's The Hollywood Outsider. There's a couple others that are trying to infringe on the name a little bit, but it's The Hollywood Outsider. And I hope you enjoy the show. And we'll bring you more special episodes. We've got another one coming up pretty soon involving Michael Bay. I think that's going to be a fun one, if it's not out already. And also our regular show. So, guys, have a great 4th of July if you're hearing this before that or during that. Otherwise, just have a good summer. Thanks for listening, as always. And remember, the next time you go to a theater, which I'm sure you're doing soon, buy popcorn.